Well, first this morning, international pressure is growing on Israel to pull back on its planned offensive in Gaza's southern city of Rafah as new signs emerge of a possible breakthrough in ceasefire talks. Hamas will send a delegation to Egypt this week to discuss the latest proposal, which includes the freeing of 33 Israeli hostages in exchange for a six-week ceasefire and the release of hundreds of Palestinian prisoners. The Hamas leadership is now quoted as saying it's approaching this latest ceasefire deal with a positive spirit. But could Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's resolve to launch a ground assault in Rafah, where 1.4 million Palestinians are sheltering, sink any ceasefire agreement before it starts? Benjamin Netanyahu says deal or no deal, Israel will enter Rafah. Retired Brigadier General Amir Avivi was the deputy commander of the Israeli Defence Force's Gaza Division and is now head of Israel's influential Defence and Security Forum. I spoke with him yesterday.
Thank you very much.
Why is Israel so intent on an assault on Rafah? What is the objective?
We have very clear goals of war, and the goals of war is to destroy Hamas as a governmental and military entity, and to release all the hostages, and also to create a reality where there won't be an ability to build again a terror army in the Gaza Strip. All these three goals depend on the ground incursion in Rafah. Hamas has retreated to Rafah. Its remaining forces are in Rafah. All the hostages are in Rafah.
So you know for certain that all the hostages are in Rafah? How do you know that?
Israel has the intelligence that the hostages are in Rafah. Basically, everywhere Israel went into and they got control from these places, Hamas retreated to the next place. Now, Rafah is the last stronghold. And basically, in order to destroy Hamas military forces and leadership, there needs to be a ground incursion in Rafah.
At what cost? I mean, Rafah is also the place that the Israeli Defense Forces ordered all the Palestinians at the beginning of this battle, of this war, to move to. There are currently about 1.4 million Palestinians sheltering in Rafah. What plans are in place to protect these civilians?
So basically, at the beginning of the war, in order to diminish as much as possible civilian casualties, Israel encouraged the Palestinian civilians to move from the north to the south. Now, Israel is calling for these citizens to move 4 or 5 kilometers north to the area of Khan Yunis. Israel has done that before. We know how to basically direct the civilians to a safety zone in order to minimize collateral damage and deal mostly with the Hamas terrorists.
The US President Joe Biden has been unequivocal in his warnings to Benjamin Netanyahu. He says Israel should not invade Rafah without first providing, quote, an appropriate and credible humanitarian plan. Does that plan exist? And what would it look like when you say move the people? How would that happen?
I really don't understand why moving the citizens from Rafah seems to be like more difficult than what was done before. I think that moving them 40 kilometers was more complicated than moving them 4 kilometers.
Well, with respect, what was done before, though, was done over months. We now have people there in Rafah who are very sick. The hospitals around are not operating. People are starving. There's injured people. People have now been through more than 6 months of war. It's a different situation.
I think that nobody is starving. There is huge amounts of humanitarian aid going into Gaza. Unfortunately, some of it is taken by Hamas. Israel will make sure that the citizens leave Rafah before there is a ground incursion. There is no option not to go to Rafah. Without going to Rafah, basically Israel will lose the war. All the people that died will be for nothing, and Hamas will be able to rebuild again its capabilities and threaten the security of Israel and also threaten its own society. I mean, the Palestinians today are hostages of a terror organization.
There seems to be conflicting reports. I mean, you just said that the people in Rafah are not starving. We've had the UN declare that there's many people in Gaza broadly, not just down south, who are on the brink of famine. We've all seen the pictures of people in Gaza, you know, rushing, trying to get food from food drops. You know, people are starving.
I'm sorry to say that we didn't hear about one person starving in Gaza. I don't think this is the reality. There is huge amounts of food. While Gazans are getting food, the ones who are starving are Israeli hostages. I would say that I would expect the world to be much more concerned about civilians that have been kidnapped, children, women that were raped, people that were beheaded.
And in terms of the fate and the safety of the hostages, that depends on a ceasefire. Isn't it the reality that the determination to invade Rafah makes a ceasefire deal harder to get agreement on?
Israel is willing to do a ceasefire for a month, month and a half, in order to get 33 hostages. Even the president of the United States has said again and again, it's Hamas that is not agreeing to a deal. If Hamas wants a month or more of ceasefire, they need to release hostages. That's the deal. And without that, there is no deal. And then there will be a ground incursion.
Hamas delegation is heading back to those ceasefire talks, allegedly. The latest proposal on the table is for Hamas to free 33 Israeli hostages in exchange for that six-week ceasefire you mentioned and the release of several hundred Palestinian prisoners. If Hamas agrees to that, has Israel agreed to that deal? Will that deal be signed?
Israel all along agreed to a deal, and Hamas all along rejected. Now it's in the hands of Hamas. Okay. If Hamas agrees to the deal, then Israel, of course, will go through with the deal. If not, then Israel will have to think about the next step.
There are reports that the Israeli cabinet is split on a pending incursion into Rafah. More hardline members of the coalition have warned Benjamin Netanyahu, if he gives up on the idea of invading Rafah, he would face effectively political obliteration. But then others, like Benny Gantz, say the return of Israeli hostages is more pressing than an operation in Rafah. Can the Prime Minister go ahead with the assault on Rafah without the full backing of his cabinet?
I think the whole cabinet agrees that we need to go into Rafah. The discussion is not about that. The discussion is how long and how much do we have to wait regarding the hostages. And we have to remember, we have 133 hostages, not 33. The big concern is that even if we release 33 hostages, what will be the fate of all the others? The way to really bring all the hostages is going into Rafah and reaching them. Another way of looking at that is trying to maximize this deal and try to get as many hostages alive before the army goes into Rafah.
So just to be clear, if Hamas comes to the table again and signs this ceasefire deal, that would happen. The six-week ceasefire would happen. There would be no talk of invasion of Rafah before then.
As long as it's clear that Israel is not renouncing its right to continue the war, Israel will agree to this deal. If Hamas will demand full stop of the war, there won't be a deal.
There are renewed concerns about this conflict spreading in the Middle East. Israel's rapprochement with Saudi Arabia is on hold, basically, because Israel has rejected one of the Saudis' main conditions for normalised relations. That's what the talks were about. That condition is the creation of a Palestinian state. Why is that off the table? Why is that a red line? I mean, a two-state solution has been in and out of negotiations for decades now. Australia's foreign minister says there is no long-term security for Israel unless it's recognised by the countries of its region.
So we have to understand that at the moment we have 80,000 displaced Israelis from their homes in the north. They cannot go back home without Hezbollah retreating from South Lebanon. The prospects of a war in the north are high. I don't see how you can stabilize the Middle East without American leadership. Israel is very much in favor of normalizing relations with Saudi Arabia, but when people say Palestinian state, they want Israel to retreat to undefensible lines and give the area to entities that are devoted to its destruction. Both Hamas and the Palestinian Authority are promoting Israel's destruction, and this is not something Israel can live with. These are not the kind of people we can talk to.
Well, there are many big questions there. I mean, what happens the day after Rafah is the other question. But if you say there's no normalisation with Hamas and Palestinian Authority, then that question remains, who would be in charge in Rafah? Bigger the question than that, if you say, if you're demanding US leadership, what about Israeli leadership? I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu has completely ruled out any thought of Palestinian statehood, of talk of a two-state solution.
Israel is not against state solution, but as you know, you have many different kinds of states which don't have armies, which don't create a reality where basically Israel cannot defend itself. Israel, I think, is willing to find solutions, but it needs a partner and it needs a solution that also looks at the national security needs of the one and only Jewish state.
What is the plan? What is the talk then? If Israel does manage to completely obliterate Hamas, which is the plan in Rafah, what then for the Palestinians living in Gaza? Who runs Gaza?
So basically, Israel is saying it won't be Hamas and it won't be Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And
so
it also
who will
won't
it
be? And it also won't be the Palestinian Authority. So basically, the solution will be based on local leadership of the clans. It's very similar, for example, to the United Emirates, where you have city-states like Abu Dhabi, like Dubai. So really, we need to first deal with reaching the goals of war, bringing back the hostages and destroying Hamas, and then step by step building an alternative leadership in Gaza, which, by the way, might in the future be the solution also for the West Bank.
And is that the job of Israel to do those negotiations, or is that an international obligation to do that? I mean, who are you talking to about this?
I don't see. I mean, I think there can be a lot of cooperation. For example, in the Emirates have managed to really deal with the education in the Emirates in a way.
With respect, the Emirates are wealthy. The Emirates
radicalized.
Have oil deposits. The Emirates are one of the richest regions in the world. Gaza is not in that
situation. Anybody dealing with all the terror infrastructure that will take years, by the way, to dismantle in the Gaza Strip. I mean, there won't be a magical solution the day after Hamas. Israel, with the help of the international community, will have to manage what's going on in Gaza and build this alternative leadership and also change the education. I mean, if the education is going to be the same and we're going to have radical Islamistic people, this is not going to promote any prospect of peace.
Just finally, Brigadier General Amir Avivi, are you hopeful, confident, optimistic that a ceasefire deal will be agreed to within the next day or two?
Well, I'm very optimistic. Yes, this is a difficult war, but I think it brings also a lot of opportunities. And I think we might see a much brighter future for Israelis and Palestinians in the coming future.
Brigadier General Amir Avivi, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
That's retired Brigadier General Amir Avivi. He was the Deputy Commander of the Israeli Defence Forces Gaza Division. And there is hope of a ceasefire deal. The atmospherics around it are positive, but even then, that's just a six-week ceasefire. You're listening to Saturday Extra.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.